Amritsar recently, and one of our devotees, he showed us a clipping from a movie which was very old, the 1960s. It's named The Men of Honor. So there's this man named Carl Brugier. He is a captain in the Navy and he's a marine diver. That's, they go inside the water. And unfortunately, in an accident, he loses one leg till about the thigh. So obviously, he can't dive anymore into the water. So he has to leave the Navy. But he's so attached to his job that he has this firm desire to be reinstated, to join again. So he practices so much. First of all, he takes shelter of a mentor, a US coach who trains him. He puts on an artificial leg and he does so much practice and so many exercises, rigorous exercise for almost a year. And after that, he puts in this plea that he should be reinstated. Now, the person at the helm, at the top, he is biased against this man because Carl Brugier is a black. He's a black. So he doesn't want him back. So he says, you are injured, you have only one leg, so we can't take you back. He says, but at least try me. You know. So he applies for a session in the court, in the naval court, marine court. So he's called for a hearing. So he goes. And the judge is that boss who doesn't want him. So actually things are all set against him. Imagine you're standing in front of somebody who you know doesn't want you. And the judge gives the final verdict. But this man is just so determined. He says, whatever it is, let me face it once for all. So he goes. And he speaks. He says, I want to be reinstated. So the judge says, you know, Carl Brugier, do you know what you're against? You're already 40. You don't have one leg. And you'll be working with men who are half your age. Do you think you can keep up pace with them? So this Carl Brugier stands up straight and he says, the question is whether they can keep up with me. You know, he's so confident. So then the judge says that when you are in water, the pressure is too much. You know, so movements are very difficult. So they have a suit which is very heavy so that they don't get hurt. And underwater, the weight of the suit becomes more. So he says, if you can wear a suit which weighs 250 pounds and walk 12 steps, then you can prove that you are fit to join. So this man says, okay, now. So judge says, you can come tomorrow and we'll try it. So this man says, no, now. I can't wait one more day. I want to try it on now. And his coach is sitting outside. They get the suit. Three men carry it. It's so heavy. They carry that. It looks like an armor actually. They carry it in and they make him wear it. And then when he's about to rise, two men come from both sides. Imagine wearing a suit that is weighing 250 pounds. You know, if we are a little heavy in body, sometimes when we're sitting on the floor, to get up, we need somebody's help. Na? Say, jara haath de do. So imagine you're wearing such a heavy suit. So two men come to help him. So judge says, no. It says in the manual that you have to stand up on your own and walk those 12 steps. So the coach, he says, where does it say that? You know, it says that you have to walk 12 steps without support. But it never says that you have to stand up on your own. The judge says, I know it says that. So the coach says, how do you know? The judge says, I made it. I made the manual. And he's made a new manual with this amendment just so that this man should not make it. So anyway, this Carl Brugier, with great difficulty, he stands up. Somehow he stands up and he starts walking. He takes one step, two steps, three steps, and he takes nine steps. But after nine steps, he just can't walk. It's just too much. It's too painful. So he starts perspiring, he starts buckling under the weight of that suit. And his coach comes in front of him and the coach starts insulting him. His own coach, his own mentor, starts insulting him, cursing him and speaking very harshly to him. You know, he says, just walk, you know, just walk, damn it, don't. He just gives it to him. And this man, he's buckling and he somehow stands up like this. He looks at the coach and the coach is like, you know, red in the face. And then he takes those three steps. And then he then he sits. Actually, when he is not able to take the last three steps, the judge says, please bring a chair for Krushyer. So the coach says, no, he will do it. Don't get a chair. Because if he sits on the chair, that means he is disqualified. So he takes those last three steps. And then the judge says, we are proud to announce that you are reinstated Captain Karl Brushier. You know, so that means he's got back his position. And everyone cheers, everyone claps. And then the coach just salutes him and goes out. Means he was using that language or that harsh just to somehow motivate this man to take those last three steps. So from this, we learn so many things. I want all of you to contribute. What do you think were the qualities in Karl Brushier that helped him to win? Determination, faith, very strong desire, yes? Huh? Support, whose support? Coach. Confidence, yes? Positive attitude. He knew that they are all against him actually, the jury and the judge, but still, he had such a positive attitude, very optimistic. So all these points made him a winner. And actually, one of the main things was the mentor, right? Because the mentor was guiding him and giving him so much support. When you know somebody is supporting you, it's much easier to fight. Now I'll tell you another story. I told you I'm going to tell you many stories, so be prepared. Now this is not a story, this is an incident from history which all of us know. All of us are familiar with. As I said, I went to Amritsar recently. So I went to Jallianwala Bagh. And there we saw, you know, the Shaheed. So many people were killed by General Dyer. Everyone remembers? We have studied in history. So they have a museum there, and one of the exhibits was a picture of Uddham Singh. Now this Uddham Singh was a brother of Bhagat Singh. And after General Dyer killed hundreds of innocent people, he went back to London, where he was glorified possibly by the British. Now this Uddham Singh swore that he will kill General Dyer because of the atrocities which he had committed. Innocent people were killed, ladies, children. If you see that, it's horrible. The accounts which are related by the people who are there, it's really horrible. So he swore that he will kill this General Dyer. Now he was an ordinary person. But for 20 years he planned, he earned money, somehow made up savings, and he went to London. It took him 20 years to achieve that. He went to London, and there in the parliament, when the session was going on, he went in and shot General Dyer. He knew for sure he'll be caught. There was no way that he could shoot and run out because it was in front of everyone. So he knew for sure he would be killed. He was willing to sacrifice his life. But still he was willing to do that. He was willing to be a martyr for his motherland. So he lost his life, but he was a winner because he achieved the goal which possibly many people had. So many people must have wanted to kill this General Dyer. So what were the qualities that made this Uddham Singh a winner? His courage, his willingness to sacrifice, and his patience, his planning. He couldn't do it immediately. It took him 20 years to achieve the goal which he had. Third story I'm going to tell you is of Maharaj Prithu. Now this is a story from Srimad Bhagavatam which possibly many of you may have not heard. So there was a great king called Maharaj Prithu, and he was an incarnation of Lord Krishna. Now Maharaj Prithu decided to perform what is called as Ashwamedha Yajna, that is a horse sacrifice. And it is said that if somebody performs 100 such yajnas, they can get the position of Indra, who is the god of controller of heaven. So Prithu Maharaj was not doing it to become Indra, but he was doing it for the benefit of his citizens. Because when the king, when a leader does some pious activity, then all the citizens also benefit. So he performed 99 yajnas. Until he performed 99 yajnas, Indra was sitting quietly, the present Indra. But when he started performing the 100th yajna, Indra became really insecure. He said, my God, now if this person performs the 100th yajna, my position will be gone. So he tried ways and means to prevent the 100th yagya from taking place. He would steal the horse from the yagya. So many things he tried. He did many tactics. So Maharaj Prithu was very angry. And he had the power to actually destroy Indra. And he almost wanted to. But then at that time Lord Brahma came there. And he requested Maharaj Prithu that if you do anything to harm Indra, then everything will be chaotic, because Indra is controlling so many things. He is actually the king of heaven. So please, for a higher purpose, please let this matter settle. Leave it. Don't do the 100th yagya. So Maharaj Prithu gave in. He didn't do the 100th yagya. So in one sense, Maharaj Prithu was the loser. Right? He actually lost. Indra won, because Indra was able to stall the 100th yagya. But the scriptures say that Maharaj Prithu was the winner. Why? Because he obeyed his superiors, he pleased his superiors, so he got much more benefit by obeying his superiors than he would have possibly got by even doing that 100th yagya. So he was the winner. And the last story I want to tell you is of Yudhishthir Maharaj. Before the battle of Kurukshetra took place, Yudhishthir Maharaj, he got down from his chariot and he started walking towards Dronacharya. So Duryodhan started making fun of him. He said, see, he is a coward. You know, he has given up. Looks like he is coming to tell us that, you know, I don't want to fight. But Yudhishthir came up all the way to Drona and he offered his prayers through Dronacharya. And then he asked for Dronacharya's blessings. Thank you. He asked for Dronacharya's blessings. So at that time Dronacharya blessed him. He said, Yashashvi Bhava. That means may you be successful. And then Dronacharya tells him, he says, if you would have not come to me for blessings, I would have cursed you. That means, even though Dronacharya was on the side of the enemy, he was actually fighting for the Kauravas. But still he blessed him that you should be the winner. And the blessings of a guru, the blessings of superiors and our elders are very, very precious. In earlier days, before doing anything auspicious or anything important, you know, we would always take the blessings of our elders. Nowadays, young generation feel embarrassed. Or sometimes they just don't do it because of lack of time. But anything we do, if we really want to be the winners, we should always, before embarking on any auspicious or important project or activity, we should always take the blessings of our superiors, of our elders, of our Gurujan. So, we saw so many stories. And in each of these stories, we see that different qualities actually help people to become winners. Right? Different qualities. Yudhishthir showed the quality of humility and respect to his seniors. Karl Brugschier showed aggressiveness and confidence and determination. So different people show different qualities. It is said that once Alexander came to meet a sadhu. He had heard a great deal about this sadhu. And actually first he ordered the sadhu to come and meet him. The sadhu refused. He said, I won't come. If he wants, let him come and see me. So Alexander the Great went there and he was very angry because this sadhu didn't come. And after going also, he told the people, called the sadhu out. The sadhu said, he is my slave, I am his master. Let him come in. You know, the master does not come out to meet the servant. So now Alexander was really angry. You know, how dare he call me servant? I have conquered the whole world. How dare he call me a servant? So when he went in, he was actually ready with his sword. But when he saw the tranquil expression on this sadhu's face, he changed his mind. He put his sword back into place. And then he asked the sadhu, you know, on what basis did you say that you are the master and I am the servant? So the sadhu said, look, I have controlled my anger. I have controlled my anger. So anger is my servant. Anger can't control me. But you are a slave to your anger. So you are anger's servant and anger is my servant. So If A is equal to B and B is equal to C, then A is equal to C. So that is why you are my servant. So Alexander was very touched and he bowed down his head at, he accepted, yes, I am a servant to my anger. So in this situation, although Alexander was so powerful, right, physically, in terms of influence, power, he was far superior to this sadhu. But in this dialogue between them, who was the winner? The sadhu. Why? Because he had control over his senses. So we can win in different ways. There are different aspects to winning. There are different levels at which we can win. Like in sports or in war, by being aggressive, you can win. But in some other situations, by being humble, you can win. So when I was thinking today, what aspect of winning we should discuss? I was just thinking that winning has so many aspects. It encompasses so many things. It's just not possible to discuss each and every aspect of winning. There are so many spheres of life in which you might want to be winner. Sometimes you might not be competing with others. You might be competing against yourself. I'll give you an example. Supposing you're a swimmer and you can swim, say, a lap in 5 minutes or a certain distance in certain amount of time. You could set a target for yourself. Okay, today it's taken me 10 minutes. Tomorrow I'll try to do it in 7 minutes. So you are actually contesting against yourself. In fact, many times students are told, because they get so much stressed out in competition, they are told that don't try to compete with others, but set higher targets for yourself. So that in itself is another way of winning. So there are some basic qualities that we need in our life in order to become winners. So we already discussed some of these points, that they are determination, patience, courage, organization, planning, humility, positive attitude, sacrifice, control over one's senses, taking blessings and guidance from superiors, elders and so on. But today I would like to discuss with you one aspect which normally is never discussed by the management gurus or in the thousands of books that discuss how to become a winner. At least I went through many books and I could not find this aspect anywhere. Would anyone like to guess what aspect that is? Anybody? It's the K factor. What is the K factor? I'll tell you a story. Then you'll understand what's the K factor. All of you know this story, but still it's relevant. Just before the war started, Arjuna and Duryodhana both went to Krishna. And Krishna was sleeping. Arjuna went and sat at Krishna's feet and Duryodhana sat at Krishna's head. When Krishna opened his eyes, he saw Arjuna. So he said, Arjuna, what do you want? So Duryodhana in his usual arrogant way, he said, I came first. So Krishna said, but I saw Arjuna first because he was sitting at the feet. So Duryodhana said, no, but I came first. So Krishna said, but Arjuna is younger, so he should ask first. So then Krishna said, what do you want? So both of them said, we want assistance for the war. So Krishna gave a choice. He said, on one side is my Narayani Sena and on the other side me, alone, and I will not lift weapons. So Arjuna was given the first choice and Duryodhana was boiling from within. And Arjuna said, I take you, Krishna. And Duryodhana thought, oh, what a fool this Arjuna is. This is real ridiculous man. So he said, okay, I'll take the Narayani Sena. Although man mein laddu phut rahe the. He was so happy. But he made it appear that he was just taking what was left over. But what he didn't realize is that moment Arjuna made the choice, he had already won the battle. The moment he chose to have Krishna on his side, he was the winner. Match fixing. That match was already fixed. Uska natija already pehle se hi fixed tha. In fact, when Krishna was speaking the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, at one point, Arjuna requests Krishna to show him the universal form. And in showing the universal form, he sees that actually the entire army, the enemy side, is being sucked into Krishna's mouth and destroyed. So actually, the end result was already fixed. That because they were on the side of Adharma, they would have been destroyed. So the K factor that we are talking about is Krishna. That if we have Krishna on our side, then we can be the winners. On what basis are we saying this? The entire Bhagavad Gita says this. Krishna, throughout the Bhagavad Gita, so many places he mentions that we will take later on. But at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, Sanjaya, who is actually narrating the entire Bhagavad Gita to Dhritarashtra, he says this. Yatra Yogeshwara Krishno, Yatra Partho Dhanurdhara, Tatra Shri Vijayi Bhuti Dhruva Nitir Matir Mama. That wherever there is Krishna, the master of all mystics, and Arjuna, the supreme archer, there has to be great opulence, victory, and whatever is auspicious, everything will be there. Right? The exact words are, he says, that there will be certainly opulence, victory, extraordinary power and morality. Why is that? Because that is the secret of success. Sorry. That is the secret of success. That if there is Krishna, there has to be victory. Why? Because he is the supreme controller. Because he is the supreme personality of Godhead. He has made everything. He has done everything. He can do whatever he wants. We see in the life of Pandavas, throughout their life, Duryodhana and Shakuni were always plotting against them. Right? All of us have seen and heard Mahabharata. Continuously they were plotting against them. They tried to poison them. They tried to burn them in the house of lack. They schemed and they made them lose in the gambling match and took away everything from them. They tried to disrobe Draupadi. So many things. Continuously it was going on. But ultimately who was the winner? The Pandavas. Why? Because they had Krishna. They had Krishna backing them. So throughout the Bhagavad Gita, time and time again, Lord Krishna himself, he mentions this. He reassures Arjuna and encourages him. He tells him that, oh Arjuna, declare it boldly, my devotee shall never perish. And not only Krishna says this, but he actually does this for his devotee. He says, Ananyas Chintayanto Mam, just now we saw this verse. This entire verse, what does it mean? He says that for my devotee who has engaged in my devotional service, I shall protect what he has and I will carry what he lacks. Whatever he has, I will protect that, and what he doesn't have, I will supply that. The entire drama was about that. And Krishna actually illustrates that through the lives of his devotees. There is a story of Amrit Manthan, the churning of ocean, where the demigods and demons were fighting with each other. And throughout, the Lord was helping in so many ways. At the end, when the nectar came out, the Amrit came out, Dhanvantri comes out with the nectar. The demons, because they were more powerful, they grabbed the nectar and they ran away. But at that time, the Lord, he incarnated as Mohini Murti, right? The most beautiful incarnation of Mohini Murti. And he totally bewildered the demigods. Bewildered the demons. All the demons thought that Mohini Murti is looking at me. She loves me. Huh? She will be mine. And in this way, very casually she went and took. There was no khun kharaba, as they say. Very casually she went and took the pot of nectar from their hands. And she gave it to the demigods in front of them. And nobody is saying anything, because they are saying that I might spoil my chances, you know, of getting her if I speak. I don't want to displease her in any way. So in this way, as Mohini Murti, she made the demigods the winners. So time and time again, the Lord does this. In the case of Jayadrath, when Arjuna's son Abhimanyu was killed, Arjuna took a vow that I will kill this Jayadrath because he was instrumental in my son being killed. And he takes a vow that before sunset, if I don't kill Jayadrath, I will jump into fire. So the Kauravas are very happy. They say, now all we have to do is protect Jayadrath. Because if he is protected, then Arjuna will kill himself. And that's what they wanted. So they formed such a tight circle around Jayadrath that nobody could penetrate that. And Krishna told Arjuna, why do you take such vows without asking me? It said that Arjuna slept peacefully at night, but Krishna couldn't sleep. He was tossing and turning. He was thinking, what should I do now? And on that day, when actually this was happening, Krishna made the sun disappear. So it appeared that it was sunset. And the Kauravas started celebrating and Jayadrath came out. And as soon as he came out, Krishna again made the sun appear. And he told Arjuna, shoot. Arjuna didn't ask questions, you know. But what will they say? What will they feel? What if there is, you know? He just took, he used to just follow, took out his arrow and shot. And so he was saved and Jayadrath was killed. Then we see in the life of Tukaram, this is Maharashtra, and Tukaram, Sant Tukaram is very famous. There are thousands of Varkaris in Maharashtra who are inspired and follow the life of Sant Tukaram. It's a very, very beautiful and touching story. And there's so many, in fact his entire life was a proof of the Lord's protection. But there are two stories that I would like to narrate. One is when Tukaram, he's actually very poor because he hardly does anything to maintain himself. So one man in all goodness comes to him and says, Tukaram, you guard my fields so that animals, cows and all don't enter. And if you guard my field, then at the end of the day, I'll give you something. So Tukaram goes, he sits in the field and he starts doing his bhajans, avangs. And the first day the man gives him some grain and something as a salary. And there's one man in the village who's envious of Tukaram. He purposely sends hundreds of cows, he sends cattle into that field to destroy that field. So that Tukaram would be ruined. Because if the field is spoiled, the owner will catch Tukaram's neck. So the field is ruined, the entire crop is ruined. And this owner of the field says, now I will mortgage your house because Tukaram didn't have money to sort of compensate. So the owner says, at the end of the harvest, when there is harvest, we will measure how much is the loss, because I know every year we have so much yield and whatever is the loss, that we'll sell your house and we'll take the money and remaining we'll give it to you. So when the harvest time comes, they start, you know, harvesting the rice and they make a heap of rice. And in the movie, they actually show that Vithoba, Lord Vithala, whom Tukaram worships, is actually pouring grains like this from top. So when they measure, they find that the harvest this year is 10 times more than the usual harvest. Everybody is shocked, 10 times more, and little more is left. So that shows how the Lord protected Tukaram. Another instance is, Shivaji comes to meet Tukaram because Shivaji is very much inspired by Tukaram. When the satsang is going on, Shivaji is sitting there with his eyes closed, fully absorbed in the holy name, you know. And the same man who is envious of Tukaram, he goes and informs the Mughals that Shivaji is here, you know, this Tukaram is having Shivaji in his house. So the Mughals attack and somebody comes and informs Tukaram. So it's beautiful the way Tukaram starts praying to the Lord. He says, my Lord, when your kirtan is going on, you know, this can't happen. You have to do something. You have to protect, you know, this Shivaji. Because Shivaji was actually upholding the Hindu religion at that time. So an amazing thing happens. When these Mughals attack, they come inside. So Tukaram prays to the Lord and he says, let anything happen. Let this perishable body be killed. But the holy name shall not stop. So they don't make an attempt to hide Shivaji or anything. They just start, Vithala, 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 Vithala. You know, everyone with that full intensity, they start doing kirtan. With full intensity, everyone. And even Shivaji does not make any attempt to run away or anything. And when the Mughals enter, what happens? They go, they see Shivaji. They go and they catch him. They see he is not Shivaji, he is somebody else. Then they see Shivaji somewhere else. They go, they catch him. They see he is not Shivaji, he is somebody else. Then they catch somebody else and they see he is one of their own Muslim soldiers. So they see everybody looking like Shivaji. They see everyone except the real Shivaji. And then soon, hundreds of Shivajis they see around them. And they are totally bewildered. They go away from there. They run away from there because they can't understand. They see all the Shivajis running out. Lord Vithala actually creates so many Shivajis from his body. And all those Shivajis run out and these Mughals run after them and then those Shivajis disappear. And only the original Shivaji is left here, still praying. So in this way, the Lord not only protected Tukaram's material assets, as we saw, He not only protected his spiritual, you know, teachings, but also his words. Because he prayed to the Lord and he said that, you know, you have to protect, the Lord did it. There's another story about Tukaram. That people who are envious of him go and complain that he is not a Brahmin. How can he write abhangas? It's to be done only by Brahmins. So they force him to put his abhangas in the water. There's an Indrayani river. So with great pain, because so much love has gone into those writings, with great pain he puts those abhangas into the river Indrayani, and for days together he fasts. He doesn't eat. His entire family fasts with him. And I think on the 13th day, the goddess Indrayani, she comes up with those abhangas. She comes up and gives those abhangas back to him. And then everyone in the village recognizes him to be a saint. In fact, the Panta, the main leader of the Brahmin community who had forced him to put those abhangas in the water, actually surrenders and becomes his disciple. So in this way, the Lord actually protects his devotee. He protects what he has and he supplies what he lacks. So when we take shelter of Krishna, I think this watch has stopped. Someone can give me a watch. I can give me a watch I can keep in front of. I'll take. This has become the spiritual world. In spiritual world, there's no time. The time has stopped. So when we take shelter of the Lord, we are never the losers. Srila Prabhupada says, there is a verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Neha Bikramanashosti Pratyavayona Vidyate Swalpam Apiyasya Dharmasya Trayate Mahatobhayat. That anybody who does even the smallest spiritual activity, that is never lost. So Prabhupada says in that verse, purport, that if we do any material activity, unless it is 100% completed, we don't get the benefit of that, right? Unless it's perfectly executed and 100% completed, we don't get the benefit. For example, a child may study throughout the year, but if he falls sick during the exams, the examiner is not going to give him marks for having studied. Sometimes somebody may study very hard and go blank during the exam. So it's not that you get marks for your efforts. You don't get any marks. You get zero marks. So it's not even considered. Why? Because this material world is like that. You are judged by results. Even our entire education system is marks oriented, not effort oriented. But Krishna consciousness or spiritual life is not like that. It is effort oriented, not result oriented. We see in the case of the squirrel, when Lord Ram was building the bridge, when the monkeys were putting big boulders, the squirrel was putting in pebbles. But Lord Ram appreciated that squirrel as much as the monkeys, because he sees the effort. He doesn't see the result. He doesn't see how much is your contribution. So how hard are you trying to contribute? That's what matters. So in spiritual life, if we are very good devotees, then Krishna will take care of us. Right? We saw through so many stories. But even if we aren't, even if we are struggling, even if we are trying to be sincere and understand what is bhakti and starting off, but still we get the benefit. Even if we have done a little bit, the Lord immediately recognizes and He reciprocates with our efforts. Because the Lord is very grateful by nature. You know, there is no recession in the spiritual world. In the material world, because of recession, you may have worked so loyally for a company for so many years, but you will be given the pink slip. Lord never gives a pink slip. He is always very, very grateful. In fact, I heard a story recently which very much inspired me. Our Guru Maharaj told us that there was this devotee, in fact one of our temple inmates' mother, she went to Vrindavan and there she donated some of her jewellery for Radharani of Radha Shyam Sundar. And after some time she developed cancer and she was dying. And when she was dying, some devotees from Vrindavan had come to meet her. They didn't know her, they just came to meet her because she was on her deathbed. And they gave her some Maha jewellery. Maha jewellery means jewellery which had been worn by Radharani. They gave her that jewellery. They didn't know that she had given jewellery as a donation. But the Lord reciprocated. The Lord sent that jewellery for her just before she left her body. There's another incident. My brother was telling me that, not my brother, some devotee was telling me that one person, he had gone for some business meeting to Calcutta, one of our devotees. And his colleague was in the next room. And at night they had a party. Everyone was taking drinks and eating meat except for this devotee. And it went on till late night. And this devotee, he went to his room and he just slept. At 2 o'clock there was a knock on his door. When he opened the door, this colleague of his just actually literally fell into his arms. He was very sick. He was struggling, could not breathe. He had a massive heart attack. So this devotee immediately called up the hospital. He called for an ambulance. He put him in the ambulance and continuously throughout he was chanting the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Continuously he was chanting the holy name in this man's ears till he reached the hospital. But on the way he died. He could not make it to the hospital. After coming to Bombay, and this devotee went to meet this colleague's family to offer his condolences, he came to know that this family had been connected with ISKCON once upon a time. That they were life members and they used to come sometimes and then they stopped coming for whatever reasons. But just see, because he has once chanted the holy name and he had done maybe some, he had given some donation, what arrangement the Lord made for him. He was to die anyway. Maybe it was destined that he was to die. But just see what arrangement the Lord made for him, that when he was dying, there was a devotee continuously chanting the holy name. And it is said that if we hear the holy name at the time of death, it's very auspicious. In fact, the Lord guarantees in the Bhagavad Gita only that if you have performed some devotional service, in your next life, you will continue from where you left off. Right? This Neha Bikram Anashosti verse says that only. That if you have done some devotional service in this life, it is never wasted. In your next life, you will carry off from where you left. So since this man had done some devotional service, and again at the time of death, he was hearing the holy name, definitely in his next life, he will get an opportunity to carry off from where he left. And the Lord also says that if somebody has done devotional service in this life, but they can't complete, they cannot reach perfection, still, in the next life, they will be born in a very, very Suchinam Shrimatam Gehe Yoga Vrashto Bijayate. That they will be born in a rich aristocratic family or a family of Brahmanas where they won't have to work hard just to fulfill their economic necessities. Where they can follow devotional life very smoothly and sincerely. Who can give us such a guarantee? In other, as we spoke, in other aspects, if we don't complete something, it has no value. Right? It has no value. If you take up a project, material project, and you leave it midway, who is going to give you success? Or who is going to give you credit for that? No. But in Krishna consciousness, even if you leave midway, still you get the benefit. In this life, if you have done just 1%, next life you start from 2%. Because that 1% has gone into your eternal bank account, which does not get destroyed when this body gets destroyed. Everything else gets destroyed with the body. My brother told me he's working for a company called SAP, SAP. And the MD of this company, his name was Ranjan Das. Very successful man. He had done his MBA from Harvard. He has done his engineering from MIT. Brilliant, earning in lakhs. He had a Mercedes car. Very successful, epitome of success. Okay, and this man was staying at Bandra. Suddenly one day, and he was a fitness freak. He was very healthy. Very, very healthy. He would exercise every day. So he had everything going right for him, you know. And one fine day he gets a stroke. Massive heart attack. All his degrees, all his money, and even his fast Mercedes car could not get him to Leelavati Hospital, which was just 5 minutes away from his house. In the car he left his body. So what's the value? Even if we may be winners in the material sense, but what's the value? Because everything goes. Just because he was an MBA or MIT engineering graduate, he can't start off from there next day. He has to start with ka, kha, ga, ga and ABCD next time. In the next life, he has to start off with all that again. But spiritual life is not like that. Whatever we have done, nothing goes waste. Everything we are doing is being noted in our eternal bank account. So you may argue that, okay, this Ranjan Das died, but what about devotees? Don't they die? They also die. But they are in a unique position. Why? For the same reason I mentioned, that whatever they have done will not go waste. If they have done 75%, if they have done 80%, they will start from that point on. And also, the Lord will create favorable situation for them where they can practice devotional service. So Krishna, he recognizes our efforts. He is very, very grateful. He recognizes our efforts and he gives us benefit. Even if our contribution may be very insignificant, still, if the Lord recognizes our efforts and if the Lord is pleased, then we have won. There is a saying that the smile of the Lord is victory. If we can make the smile, a smile come on the Lord's face, then that actually is victory for us. So we see in the case of Jatayu. Anybody knows? Everybody knows who is Jatayu? When Ravan was trying to take Sita away, Jatayu fought with Ravan. But Jatayu lost. Right? Ravan won. But who was the winner? Jatayu. Because he gave up his life for the Lord, he got eternal benefit. In fact, the Lord performed the final rites for him. Have you ever heard of anyone performing Shraddh for animals? No, nobody does it. And Jatayu was a vulture. Vulture is considered to be the lowest, scavenger bird, right? But Lord Ram was so grateful to him, he performed funeral rites for Jatayu. So even though apparently in that war or that fight, Ravan seemed to be the winner because Jatayu lost. But actually who was the winner? It was Jatayu. So in this material world, real victory, when there is victory, what happens? One person wins, one person loses. Like in case of Jatayu and Ravan or anything else. We see that if somebody has to win, then somebody has to lose. It is said that real victory is defeat for none. Is that possible over here? Real victory is defeat for none. But that's not possible over here. That's possible only in the spiritual world. Because in the material world, if somebody is winning, somebody has to lose. And even if you win, what do you gain? No? In this material world, when you win also, you become the object of envy. It said that once there was an exporter of crabs and he was pulled up by the customs that you haven't closed the lid properly. You know, there are 50 crabs. What if they come out and they start crawling? So the exporter said, you know, chinta mat karo, you know, kabhi nahi aayenge bar, kitne saal se kar raha hu. I'm doing this since so many years. They won't come out. So on what basis do you say that? He said, this mentality of crabs, if one crab goes up, there are 49 crabs to pull him down. So even in this world, it is like that. If one person succeeds and goes up, even if he wins, there are so many others wanting to pull him down. As last time Vishakha Priya Mataji spoke about celebrities, I don't know how many of you were there, but she was discussing how these celebrities are sometimes so miserable. They are so-called winners, right? But they are miserable because they have no privacy. They cannot do what they want. They cannot just go for a walk to Juhu Beach. You know, they'll be mobbed. So they can't do what they want. They are not happy. They are always insecure about losing their position. You are a Miss India today. Only for 1 year you have the glory. After that, koi dekhta nahi. Nobody looks at you also. So you are insecure about your position. So what's that? That success has no value. Whereas spiritual success will bring you real happiness. Now, it doesn't mean that if you are spiritually successful, you can't be materially successful. They go hand in hand. Why? Because if there is Narayan, there has to be Lakshmi. And Lakshmi and Narayan are always together. If we have spiritual success, then the Lord will also take care of our needs. We don't have to worry about that. We have so many examples of how devotees were materially as well as spiritually successful. So it doesn't mean that if you are taking up to spiritual path, you can't be a winner materially. No, you can. We have so many examples. In the Shastra, we have the example of Sudama. Right? Sudama went to meet Krishna and he wanted to actually ask for something. But once he went there, he felt very embarrassed and he was actually so satisfied by seeing Krishna, he didn't ask. He gave his poha, his chipped rice to Krishna. But when he came back, what did he see? There was a palace standing in place of his hut. Srila Prabhupada would always say that if you are a devotee, Krishna can give you the whole world. But first he wants to see what you will do with it. If the Lord is confident that you will use everything in his service, he can give you as much opulence as you want. But first he wants to be clear about your motives. So spiritual success and material success do go hand in hand. And the greatest example of this was Srila Prabhupada himself. Srila Prabhupada, who is the founder Acharya of ISKCON, when he went to the US, he had only 40 rupees with him. That's just $1. And a trunk of books and some serials and his Srimad Bhagavatam. He had nothing materially. The only thing he had was faith in the order of his spiritual master, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and a strong desire to fulfill his desire. His Guru Maharaj had given him the order that you should go to the western countries and preach the message of Lord Chaitanya in the English language. Materially, Prabhupada lost everything. There was a fire, his business was totally burned down, his factory. But spiritually, he had fire within. He wanted to fulfill the desire. And he went. And he was not only spiritually, but even materially, he was successful. Within a span of 11 years, he built 108 temples. He had 10,000 disciples. So many temples all over, so much property. In fact, once Prabhupada jokingly said to a businessman, he said, "I am the best businessman. Just see what an investment I made. I went with only 40 rupees and now just see how much I have." But that was not the motive for which Prabhupada went. He went with compassion because he actually wanted to give this message of Bhagavad Gita to everyone. Bhagavad Gita is actually the best management manual because whatever you need to learn for being a success in life is there in the Bhagavad Gita. And Prabhupada, out of his causeless compassion, wanted to give this message of Bhagavad Gita, this message of Lord Chaitanya, that how you can perfect your life by accepting the timeless wisdom of Bhagavad Gita in your life. So it's not that all the qualities that we discussed in the beginning are a waste. We discussed about patience, determination, courage, sacrifice. It's not that we just did time pass, you know, by discussing. All those qualities are equally important, whether you are a spiritual practitioner or not. But those qualities help us in our life. In fact, one of our acharyas called Rup Goswami, he has written a book called The Nectar of Instruction. I would say that's the greatest management manual I have ever read. He describes all these qualities that are necessary for a person to be successful. Utsaha, Nishchaya, Dhairyat, how you should be enthusiastic, you should endeavor with confidence, you should have patience. So actually we are learning so many things from outside, but everything is already there in our scriptures. Whatever we need to know for being successful, whatever we need to know for being a winner, is already been given to us by the Lord Himself. All we need to do is take shelter of Krishna and become winners. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
So we'll thank Radharani Mataji by three times loudly chanting Hari Bol. And we'll make a few announcements before we take one or two questions if anybody has got. I'll give you some time to think about the questions. So the next Chetna program will be on the 16th of January and the topic is going to be the motion of emotions. And the speaker is going to be Kishori Mataji. So please make a note, 16th of January, the next Chetna program will be there. Kindly collect your passes as you are leaving from the gate and take some for your friends also. Also wanted to make an announcement about a special lecture which has been arranged for everybody tomorrow at the temple at the same place on cow protection. All of you know how the cows are being mistreated in today's day and age. So what is the importance of a mother cow? We all love our mothers, right? The scriptures tell us there are seven types of mothers and cow is one of the important mothers. So what is the value and importance of cow protection? So tomorrow's day has been dedicated for that. And please don't miss to come tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock. There has been a special seminar type of lecture arranged for everybody. So kindly you can bring your families also. That is not only for the girls. Bring your father, mother, friends, everybody. And do come for it tomorrow. Again, remember that. And we would like to request all those of you who have come for the first time to kindly stand in their places, especially for this Chetna festival. If you all don't mind, please stand in your places. Thank you very much for having come. And we hope you enjoyed the lecture that we have been arranging specially for you. But this has been a lecture which is going on now for 7-8 years we are doing this. And we request all of you that it is always on the second Saturday of every month. So do come over here and we pray that may today's day mark a beginning of your spiritual inquisitiveness in your life. May it mark the beginning of a spiritual quest in your lives. And we would like to welcome all of you also in our traditional style by loudly chanting Hari Bol 3 times.
Hari Bol! Hari Bol!
So all of you can meet Kirti Mataji behind. She will, if anybody all have any questions or have any queries, kindly meet her and she will answer all your queries behind. Kindly take your seat. So these were the newcomers. Now we today want to welcome our old comers. Those of you who have been coming this entire year, 2009, as we know it is coming to an end. This is the last Chetna of 2009. So some of you have been coming regularly for every Chetna festival. So now we would like to request all of you to stand up, those who have come for the entire 2009 Chetna program, if there is anybody here. Since we have many new people every time, we want to welcome the old people this time. So we will have a louder Hari Bol for them. First we will thank them by loudly chanting Hari Bol 3 times. To start anything new is very easy, but to continue steadily coming is more difficult. So every time we have many new faces, but the old faces disappear somehow or the other. So we would really like to thank all of you for having come consistently and shown your desire to understand this science of self-realization. And we request that if all of you, any of you, even from those who have come, new people, and would like to help us with spreading this message which you have heard and which has been benefiting so many people, then again you kindly contact Kirti Mataji, who will be standing near Hanumanji behind. Because as we know, when you share something, it multiplies, isn't it? That is spiritual science, mathematics. So we would like to share what we have got with other people. And if you want to contribute by helping us from home, or by if you have some ideas how we could, you know, help many more living entities to take advantage of this program, kindly meet Kirti Mataji. Did everybody see her?